Thank you, Bill.
Good morning.
thanks for having us. We're a little nervous. We've never done our joint testimony before, so we don't know what's going to happen, but here we go.
Thanks. Okay, I'm just going to get straight to the point here. God bless my mom with four kids. We had my two sisters, Raylene and Gina, my brother Tim, and of course me, born January 21st, 1980 in Grand Falls, Newfoundland. Growing up, Preen City... Oh my goodness, my apologies. Growing up seemed pretty decent. I had some pretty cool siblings who I annoyed a lot, lots of friends, nice little town who knew me all too well. I was a curious kid that seemed to find trouble pretty easily, so I've been told. We attended the United Church quite regularly. My siblings were even in the church choir, so I knew God, but I had no idea who he was. I had a loving family and all seemed well. I was about 5 years old when my life had made a drastic turn. I remember one day going to bed, waking up in the morning at my mom's feet in a van with my brother and a man whom I had never met. I remember feeling confused. My mom told me that this was going to be my new dad. We were moving to Toronto. I don't remember much about leaving my biological father as I was too young and it was a blur. My stepdad, Glenn, appeared to be a good guy. At the age of 7, I even asked him, I said, "Do you think I can call you dad?" Him and my mom were thrilled. As time passed, we stopped attending church, we stopped praying before our meals, we stopped saying our prayers before bed, and all seemed, again, pretty normal as this new dad of mine was teaching me things he claimed to value, like treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't lie, don't steal, and do what makes you happy. As a child, I thought, wow, this guy's pretty cool. I really started to look up to him, and I didn't really think twice about God. I don't really remember a whole lot more about my early childhood, but what I do remember was that do what makes you happy. At the age of 13, Glenn decided we were going to move back to Newfoundland. We stayed in Newfoundland for a few years, and again, everything seemed normal from what I can remember, until things changed again, suddenly. One day my dad decided that he was leaving my mom for another woman. He had told me that it was my mom's fault. My mom and I were devastated. My mom and I were devastated. I had lost my dad, and soon after this, we had packed our things and moved back to Toronto. We started a new life yet once again. I grew hate in my heart. I decided I never wanted to be a dad. And I certainly didn't believe there was a God. Because why? Why would God let this happen? I decided I was going to look out just for me. I rebelled hard. I blamed everyone and took no responsibility. High school was a time of parties, drugs, premarital sex, and doing whatever made me happy. It continued that way for years, 7 years to be exact, until I finished high school.
I grew up in a family that really had no belief system. I guess you could call my parents agnostics. My father was Irish Catholic by birth, but hadn't practiced the religion in any form as long as I knew him. My mother never really spoke of God, so I assume she was a non-believer. All seemed good as a child. I had two loving parents, an annoying little brother whom I loved. Sorry, I just lost my place with that one. And I had a relationship with my grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, all who were also non-believers. Little did I know life was about to take a turn. When I was 11 years old, my father was in a very bad car accident that left him with a permanent brain injury. From then on, he would no longer be a father to Danny and I, or a husband to my mother. He was in and out of various hospitals, and then eventually put into long-term care, where he continues to live to this day. This was a turning point. It was a very difficult time for my family, especially for my mom. But God was about to use this tragedy for his glory. We just didn't know it yet. A couple years after my dad's accident, my mother gave her life to Christ at a business conference. Through my mom, Jesus introduced himself to my brother and I. Being 13, I had somewhat of a hard time with this. To be honest, I actually thought my mom had gone a little crazy, and I figured it was a phase that would pass. But God had other plans, and despite my resistance and denial of him, God was including me in these plans. During early adolescence, I remember feeling angry, hurt, resentful most of the time. I would go on weekend business conferences with my mom, and on Sundays, there was always church. I had been to a couple services, but this service, this one service, I remember I was about 14 or 15, and Jesus broke through my darkness. I didn't fully, at this point, understand who he was, but I knew somehow he could help me, and I felt a strong sense of belief in him. I said a prayer of salvation that day and became a baby believer. At this point, I had no idea what I was being saved from, but little did I know that our faithful God was going to show me. In my late teen years, I began to fall in temptation. I focused on myself. I put God in the background of my life. I hung around with friends that were into drinking and drugs. I started to go to parties and sneak around behind my mother's back almost every weekend. I didn't see it this way at the time, but I was headed down a path that was very dark. I ended up graduating high school and then moved out at 18 and actually started college, to my family's surprise. I thought this was going to be the best time of my life.
This is when Steph and I met. We had similar interests, mostly music, loving to party, and everything that came with the party. We moved in together, and after about 6 or 7 months of dating, we would talk about God. We would talk about God sometimes, but to be honest, we were fitting God into our image. We were not attending church. We definitely weren't learning more about who God is. And I think we were even both struggling with God. I was struggling with the thought of God's existence. And Stephanie, well, she was dabbling into other stuff like energies, the universe, and taking bits from all different types of religion. We were falling further and further away from our Lord. I can think we both agree during this time we were living very much in the world. We thought freedom was doing whatever, again, we wanted, when we wanted, and how we wanted. We were completely self-focused, and we believed that we should make our own happiness. In looking back at this time of our life, we thought this was the easy way because we were not held accountable by anyone but ourselves. God had a different plan in mind and was about to reveal himself in a very real way.
In April 2004, I found out I was pregnant. Chris and I found ourselves at a crossroads. I found myself praying and turning to God for help. I wasn't sure what to do. We decided that the best option was to get married and move in with my mom. During this time, our beloved church stepped up to help us. I forgot to mention, we did have a church. We just pushed them into the background with God. Our church stepped up to help us and guide us. They prayed for us and really showed us through their actions the love of Jesus. About 4 or 5 months into the pregnancy, we were told there were complications with the baby, that he might not survive. They told us he had no aortic wall in his heart. I went for testing at the fetal high-risk clinic at Mount Sinai. The doctor kept finding new things wrong. They told us the baby had a cleft lip and palate, as well as an enlarged right ventricle in the brain, no pituitary gland, which is the master hormone gland, and it controls all the other glands, and no optic nerve. We were absolutely devastated. I definitely remember, for myself, I I turned to God at this time, and I leaned on him, and I could feel that my faith growing.
I certainly did not lean on God. I fell back into what I knew the most and how to cope with things, my substances, my partying, my lying, and my deceit. I really had no faith at this time. I remember one day at an Amway convention, a group of ladies, Christian ladies, that asked Stephanie if they could pray over her. She said yes. They went into a room and they laid hands on her and they prayed. And they prayed hard. And when she came out, I remember feeling that hate and the anger. And how dare these people touch my wife? When there's especially there's no such thing as God. I was angry and I was lost. But yet again, God was about to show me his grace and his mercy.
God continued to pursue us. Our church supported us in more ways than one, especially in prayer. And I know I have some of those prayer warriors in this room right now. On November 25th, 2004, Aiden was born. He was a healthy baby boy. That he just had a cleft lip and palate, and that was it. All the other abnormalities that the doctors saw in utero and that I saw in utero through the images were not there. We were blessed, and he was our miracle baby.
Sorry, that's me. Aiden's birth was life-changing for me. I could feel God's presence, and I felt my heart changing toward Christ. Through the experience, I felt I could no longer deny that there was a God. At that time of my life, I'm pretty sure I became a believer. But you would also think at this point in our story, we would be finally walking the walk and lay down our lives for our Savior. To our shame, that was not the end of our disobedience. I began to feel the pressures of being a father, the responsibilities. I now had a wife, a son, and I was 24 years old. How was I going to do this? I had no idea what I was doing. I eventually let these fears and the feelings get the best of me, and I started again using my coping mechanisms that I fell back on all too often. It eventually caught up with me. It turned into an addiction. Everything I witnessed as a child, from what had happened to my parents and my substance use as a teenager, was slowly creeping into my life, and everything I did not want to become, I was. I was lost. I had received professional support for my struggles, again through the church family. Steph and I stuck it out and tried to put our life back together.
During this time, I was struggling with hurt and anger, control and pride. It was consuming me. I felt hurt and hate all at the same time, and I thought I knew what forgiveness was. But looking back on this time, I really had no idea about the forgiveness God teaches. I was consumed with resentment. With all those feelings and undealt with guilt, shame, and hurt, we tried to fight our own fight. And sometimes we did all right, but other times it was disastrous. It was a roller coaster. We would only go to church sometimes. And we would pray when we thought we needed to. I think we thought we were trying to follow Jesus. I'm not sure how aware we were of this, but what we were really doing was trying to have our cake and eat it too. We were claiming to be Christians, but we would still go out with friends on the weekends and indulge in things of this world that were not acceptable. And then we would show up at church on Sunday like everything was good. As most of you know, this is not a sustainable lifestyle. Our self-focus and lack of thirst for God was destroying us. We were destroying ourselves and everything attached. Our relationship with God was up and down. When I was up, Chris was down, and vice versa. We felt disconnected, and our marriage was struggling.
And yet, once again, during these struggles, God was going to use a terrible life circumstance to pull us closer to himself and magnify his glory. In the winter of 2009, my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Steph and I drew very close to the church, very close to Jesus. We prayed with my mom. Our church prayed for us all. I watched the amazing, amazing grace of Jesus come over her as she was dying. I'd never experienced anything like this in my life. My mom had come to Jesus during this time. She had put her faith in him, and I can actually say that she died in a beautiful way that touched my heart. This changed me. I truly felt God's presence during this time and had a renewed sense of faith. This experience ultimately led Stephanie and I to deciding to get baptized, and we felt like we were finally walking the walk.
As time passed, we started to lose the reins, as we hadn't fully denied ourselves. We fell back into our day-to-day. We stopped putting God first, or maybe we hadn't actually started. We wouldn't always attend church, and we found ourselves rationalizing going out with friends and participating in the occasional party again. This went on for at least a couple years. Then we found out we were pregnant again, and on August 30th, 2013, we had our Tegan. God had blessed us despite being undeserving. Life seemed good on the surface. We once again put in an effort. We started attending church, taking part in family night. We would even attend John and Allison's once a week to study the Word. There was something still missing, and I think both Chris and I can look back now and see it clear as day. But we were so blind. We had such a lack of understanding, and our sinful nature was about to bubble up again. Life was busy. I had returned to work. We were tired and felt ourselves focusing on all these negatives. It was affecting us in the way we treated each other. I was irritable most days and had a short fuse. I felt lonely and unloved.
I felt insignificant, not respected, and also all alone. Bottom line, we were not putting God first at all. We went back to thinking selfishly about our individual wants and needs. In 2015, leading up to the Easter, we came to a crossroad yet again. This one felt bigger than ever, than the last struggles that we've ever faced. I was extremely, extremely in a dark place. I was tired, and I'm sure Steph was as well. I wanted out. I found myself turning to other people and things to fill this void again. I had made a decision to push the eject button. I was leaving my wife and my kids. My heart had hardened towards Stephanie and ultimately towards God. I would not and I could not let either one of them in. I thought I was making the right decision for me and my happiness. God is in control. God was definitely not in agreement with me, and looking back on this, it's now hard to believe the incredible ways that our God works.
Chris had let me know he was done with our marriage on the Wednesday before Easter 2015. I was devastated. I actually thought this was it, and all I could do was pray. The only way I know how to explain what happened next is as if God grabbed us both and said, "No, you are mine. Now choose." He was claiming us as his own and asking for our immediate response. God then sent his faithful warriors to pursue Chris and support me. And you all know who you are.
Between the Wednesday and Easter Sunday, Jesus was breaking through my darkness in miraculous ways. Through our church family, my wife, my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law, and ultimately, the Spirit of God. I started to feel my heart softening, and the realization of my sin hit me in a crushing way. But I also felt a sense of relief. It was really weird. It's the only way I know how to explain it, and that's the only way I know how to explain what had happened. I knew that I had almost made the biggest mistake of my life. I became really aware that I had to confess, repent of my sins. But what amazes me to this day is how fast God was able to grab a hold of me, literally, and change my life and my heart.
It was really amazing watching God work. I could see the change in Chris, and by witnessing his change, I began to reflect on my own sins towards him and God. I was struggling hardcore with pride, control, anger, resentment, and trust. I didn't respect Chris, and this showed in how I treated him at times. This was a harsh realization for me, because I would often compare my actions to Chris's actions, and I would think that I was better than him. God was using all our chaos and darkness and turmoil. He was drawing us near. His spirit was working, and we could both feel it. To this day, when we reflect on this event, I am still in awe. God took two disobedient, self-focused humans who were in complete denial, who had screwed up over and over again, who had denied God over and over again. And within 4 days, God completely changed our hearts towards one another and drew us into a deeper understanding and relationship with himself. He rescued us because we belonged to Christ. We felt a sense of urgency this time to change. We both made a decision by that Easter Sunday that we were leaving ourselves behind and giving over ourselves completely to Christ. He had rescued us from ourselves, and we felt the impact of Christ's sacrifice for us. We realized the ground is truly level at the cross, and not one human being on this planet is better than another, and we need Jesus. We decided to do this in a small group. We had to be honest with ourselves and each other. We both prepared a list of our sins towards one another and towards God, and went through the list one by one, and repented and asked for forgiveness for each sin one by one. This was incredible. This was incredibly hard, emotional, heartbreaking, but so beautiful. God brought us to our knees, and we were finally able to look up. I think Chris and I can both agree that we've never felt this type of freedom. No worldly freedom can ever top this. I can't even begin to describe it. I think you will just have to experience it for yourselves. Chris and I renewed our vows that day. I experienced what it is to truly forgive, and I continue to practice forgiveness because it is an ongoing thing. We know that as long as we love Jesus more than ourselves, more than each other, more than our children, that we will always be okay with whatever circumstance comes our way.
Something that we did not write, God had blessed us one more time with our third child, Abigail, after everything. And both Stephanie and I also decided on two verses that were really applicable. I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 10-13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now we realize that the only way out of suffering is through it, and the only way through it is with Jesus.
And our second verse is 1 John 4:9-11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Church, you can try and fight your way out of situations and circumstances. which is what we tried to do for many years. Or you can look to the cross. Jesus brings new life through his death and resurrection. Because Christ has overcome our world through his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus is the only way. He is truth, and he is life. So we urge you all to hold on to Jesus, because he is definitely holding on to all of you. Thank you.